Hi, this is Christopher Perrin with Inside Classical Education. On this podcast program, I interview a variety of leaders, administrators, and educators on topics relating to classical Christian education and its ongoing recovery and renewal in the 21st century. Archives of previous interviews can be found at our blog and podcast site at www.insideclassicaled.com. Ken, what was it that motivated you to start Mars Hill Audio and to do the kind of cultural analysis that typifies the interviews you do on the journals?
The reason I wanted to do this is because I'd been persuaded for a long time, even before I started working at Eternity, that that contemporary culture posed a lot of challenges to Christians that they weren't even aware of. There were, you know, culture wars sorts of concerns that Christians had about obvious moral issues. But even when I was in college, I began to realize that there were a lot of cultural dynamics that were challenging the church that weren't recognized as challenges, that were, you know, I often say that a lot of Christians look at cultural disorder and they see it as a ministry opportunity rather than a rather than something to resist. So I've been, you know, that was something I was thinking about. And at Eternity Magazine, when I was trying to formulate an editorial vision, the problem of cultural accommodation, the problem of becoming assimilated to whatever status quo happens to be the case in contemporary American culture, seemed to me to be a big problem. So that, and that continues to motivate what I'm doing now. I mean, one way of summarizing what I've been doing is that modernity and its hyperactive spawn, postmodernity, pose some peculiar problems to Christians. Mm-hmm. And rather than the church trying to make good modern Christians, mm-hmm. I think the task of discipleship is to create Christians who are wise about the ways of the world and not captive to them. Mm-hmm. I break that down often into talking about specific large themes of modernity, like its tendency toward Gnosticism, for instance, its tendency.
Would you define for our listeners Gnosticism?
Yeah, well, Gnosticism classically comes from the Greek word gnosis, meaning knowledge, and usually used to refer to movements beginning in the second or third or fourth century that were strongly influenced by Greek philosophy, characterized by a suspicion of the goodness of the material world, and specifically a suspicion of the goodness of the body. It led to heresies concerning Christology. One of the earliest heresies to face the church is a heresy that claimed that Christ only appeared to have a physical body.
Docetism,
yeah. Dokeo, the verb meaning to appear, I think. So there's this tendency throughout Christian history it seems to me Christianity and Judaism are unique among world religions in affirming the goodness of the body, the goodness of the material world. So there's always a temptation, and always has been a temptation within the church, toward a kind of dualism that separates the body from the spirit, separates the material from the spiritual. As it happens, modernity, modern culture, through the influence of modern philosophy principally, reinforces that kind of dualism. Beginning with Descartes, we have the idea in the 17th century that knowledge, that we can acquire knowledge that's de-situated, that is, we can acquire knowledge that has nothing to do with our actual participation in a tradition, our actual participation in a community, our actual engagement with the world of the senses. because the world of the senses, Descartes, like many of the Greeks, was nervous about the world of the senses because of the fact that the senses can deceive. And so if we want certain knowledge, and this is one of the great quests of modern culture, we want certain knowledge, we have to eliminate sense perception because that's not a source of certainty. Anyway, there are lots of tendencies in modern culture toward regarding the body and the material world as meaningless, as a problem to be overcome. I mean, a lot of our technology is dedicated to eliminating all of the limitations of the physical world. The idea that physical limits are a problem rather than a condition for flourishing is a huge modern assumption. The internet is often celebrated by some of its enthusiasts as a way to eliminate the constraints of embodied life. So anyway, that Gnosticism is one of, I think that's one of the, I think it's a perennial challenge for the church, but I think it has some particular challenges for modern Christians to be aware of that. You know, let me take a step back for one second. I mean, theologically or biblically, I think you'd say the thing that drives me is the New Testament emphasis on not being conformed to the world. Worldliness was misunderstood by American fundamentalists, and hence their children and grandchildren, I think, have lost the kind of concern that is pretty strong in the scriptures about not being conformed to the world. James says that true religion consists of two things: caring for orphans and widows in their stress and keeping oneself unstained by the world. Paul talks about the dangers of conformity to the world. In 1 John, we read that you can't love the Father and love the world. I mean, it's a constant theme throughout Scripture. And yet, I don't think that we're not living in a time when there is deep, ongoing, substantive reflection on what would constitute worldliness for us. So a lot of what I think we're doing with Marcel Audio is trying to define what our mission statement talks about, our producing audio materials that help Christians think wisely and obediently about the cultural consequences of our duty to love God and neighbor. And that implies, a corollary of that is that we have to do so in a way that's not captive to the spirit of the age.
Ken Myers on engaging culture and the dangers of cultural assimilation. This interview has been conducted by Christopher Perrin for Inside Classical Education, found on the web at insideclassicaled.com.